You're listening to Let's Talk, Episode 40, brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network. Howdy all, Father Corey Stika here. Welcome once again to our weekly SQPN community podcast, Let's Talk. Glad you could join us. We got two returning panelists. First, Angela, welcome back.
Oh, thank you, Father. So glad to be with you.
How are things going?
Going very well. I won't rehash the conversation we just had before the recording about weather, but it's been quite a bit warmer here in Texas than it has been for you.
Yeah, exactly. Both Joanne, who's our other panelist, and I are dealing with weather situations that Angela doesn't have to. And how are things going for you there, Joanne?
It's snowy, but it's warm inside. Hi, everybody. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, we're glad to have you both here, and it's nice and cold here, so it's below zero again, but at least the sun's out, and it's warm inside, as Joanne said. So this is kind of a big week in the Catholic Church, of course. Both East and West are celebrating, at least Eastern Catholic and Western Catholic are celebrating, getting ready to celebrate, or in the case of the East, have already started Lent. You know, this is, I was talking to a priest friend of mine a couple of weeks ago, and he reminded me that Lent for the East actually starts on Monday, not Wednesday.
Oh, that's right.
So by the time you hear this, by the time this is released on Tuesday, we'll be between the two Lent start days, Lent starting Lent. They're Monday and our Wednesday. So with Lent starting, that means, of course, the annual reminder of what does it mean to celebrate Lent? What does it mean for Ash Wednesday coming up? Things like that. Now, let's start with Lent as a whole, because, of course, that is kind of the bigger issue. What are some practices that you guys usually have during your Lenten season? Joanne, why don't we start with you? What are some things that you do habitually, if you will, every year when Lent comes around?
Lent is a good time to clean out things. And I, to be practical, I start cleaning out my closet.
There you go.
Only because, and it's not because I've been watching Netflix and that lovely woman, Marie Kondo.
Marie Kondo.
Yeah. But I think, you know, every year it reminds me it's time, only practically because Lent will signify, you know, change. And practically, Lent means the opening of our thrift shop in the Collaborative is about a month and a half away. So we open right after Easter, and they collect stuff from everywhere. So that's one of my practices. In the Collaborative itself, you know, we're just, Lent means we start gearing up for Holy Week. And that means a lot of work on the back end that people don't see. But we offer, you know, we offer extra programs during the Lenten season, especially Stations of the Cross. We have a moving Stations of the Cross between our church, between our three churches. So it's nice. And it's called Soup and Stations. Mm. And we have, and each station has a different theme. So we go back and forth. In fact, I'm going to plug it. for one of my colleagues, she wrote a Stations of the Cross for those with disabilities. Focusing on disabilities. And I'll try to get that up by the end of it. Might be one of my picks of the week, but I'll try to get that up right away for those folks who are interested. So that's what Lent means change for me. So that's what I start doing, changing things in my life.
Well, very good. That's very good practice. And I was just thinking as you're talking, especially, you know, talking about cleaning, I wonder if both between the Lenten season and the fact that usually during Lent is when the weather starts getting warmer for those of us in more extreme north and extreme south, for like our friends in Australia, the weather actually starts getting nice where you could open windows, things like that. If that's why spring cleaning is such a thing, you know, because Lent is a time again of, you know, getting that stuff out of our lives that maybe have cluttered them.
Yeah, it might be. I don't think it's a coincidence. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, again, of course, you know, for those of us like in Montana and in Boston, places like that, the weather starts actually getting warm eventually during Lent. And that's when you can open the windows and let fresh air into the house. But again, I wonder if Lent is part of that as well. How about you, Angela? What are some Lenten practices that you usually have?
Well, I mean, it's definitely a time to think about the Passion of Christ. I mean, you know, even before Holy Week. So really meditating on that, bringing out the images that we have in our home, sure. You know, to, you know, kind of switch over from maybe the ordinary time images of the Holy Family and, you know, different biblical scenes. But I really like art and I'm a very visual person. So sure. I learn and I get in, you know, the atmosphere of Lent by having those things around me. Right. And then, I mean, I'm one of those people that observes the abstinence from meat on every Friday of the year. So it's not a huge thing for me as far as like, you know, Lent, not eating meat on Fridays, because I do that all year. But what I will do is definitely bolster my prayer life. And lately, I've been pretty lazy in terms of my prayer life, so I'm looking to definitely restructure that. but so I'm looking forward to that. But I mean, those are a couple things that I do during Lent for sure.
Sure. Well, very good. Now, I have to admit that Lent, the not eating meat during Lent isn't a big thing for me either. And I've done that before where I've done the abstain throughout the year from meat on Fridays. But for me, it's not exactly a sacrifice because I'm one of those. I like fish. I like seafood. Mm-hmm. And Lent, especially when you have the Knights of Columbus with their fish fries, that, you know, that is not sacrificial by any stretch of the imagination.
Not at all.
Neither is really good deep fried fish. You know,
neither is going out for lobster on Friday nights.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a little easier for you there in Boston, where, you know, lobsters hang from every tree. No, I'm kidding.
No, but, almost.
Know, it's but pretty not common. Every. It's pretty common. It's much more common there. It'd be like eating walleye here because we have so much walleye that people just, you know, go and fish. Our rivers are full of them. So, and walleye is a delicious, delicious, you know, freshwater fish. So it's like, oh, darn, I have to eat walleye today. Shucks. You know, you know, one thing I you know, going off this idea of what we do during Lent, you know, one thing I try to do is spend less time in front of the electronic media, you know, and I'm bad for that where, you know, I've always got the cell phone. I've always got the laptop. I've always got the TV. I don't watch as much TV as I used to, but I still, you know, I still spend time with my electronic devices on. And I try during Lent to step away from that a bit more. And of course, as a priest, that's kind of easier to do because there's always things going on. You know, we have our, you know, Friday fish fries. We have Stations of the Cross on Friday, which I highly recommend, you know, if your parish has a Stations of the Cross during the week to go and do it, to go and attend it, because it is an opportunity to reflect on our Lord's Passion, you know, in a way to symbolically walk with him. You know, obviously we can talk about that here in a little bit about what the Stations of the Cross means, why it's a important Lent practice. So I try to do that. You know, I try to you know, do more of the cleaning and things like that, because believe me, if you've seen my rectory, you know, it's always a mess. It's always a mess. I'm just one of those people. It doesn't matter what happens. It's a mess.
It's a priest thing. Let me tell you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I know some priests that are good at keeping their places clean. And then there's priests like me that it's like, whatever. Yeah. There's a pile of mail over there. It's all junk mail. I just haven't finished sorting it out. You know,
Isn't that kind of thing. Just a bachelor thing.
It could be
that too.
It could be.
It very well could be that too. Believe me. But Lent is a great time, though, for us to really stop and reflect on our lives, because that's what Lent is about. It's about fasting. You know, now there are certain practices that we are called to by the church during Lent, and one of those includes Good Friday. So when we talk about Good Friday and Ash Wednesday, I forgot about Ash Wednesday, which is coming up here this week, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, one of those things, there are two major rules that we are called to do. The first is abstain from meat on Fridays, which, again, we kind of talked about. That's the easy one to do. And then fast on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. But it's only, that one's interesting, people ask me, well, do I have to abstain? You know, I'm 70 years old. I'm 80 years old. Do I have to do the abstain from meat? Yeah, actually, that one is from age 14, I think, up.
To 15, I think it's 14 up. The fasting is 14 to 59. Fasting.
Correct.
I know that because I'm 59.
Ah, there you go. You know, and yeah, so the abstinence one doesn't have an upper age limit. But and basically that's because anybody at any age really can go without meat for a meal because you have other options. Mm-hmm. The reason why there's the low end is because a lot of times kids don't have an option about what they eat. It's what their parents give them.
Right.
And what they have at school. You know, that was always an issue growing up was the school going to serve fish during Lent? Some schools I attended did, some didn't. And then, of course, it would be fish sticks or something, which, you know, kids either take or leave. But the fasting one is an interesting one. Because the way the church phrases it, it really isn't a strong fast, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's not.
It's so the rules are one main meal and then two smaller, I guess you could really call them snacks more than anything else, but that they don't equal a second meal. Mm-hmm. But if you think about that, that's like saying, okay, I could have a nice supper and an apple for breakfast and a sandwich for lunch. Mm-hmm. That's really not an extreme fast.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And it'd be, you know, as one who has had to deal with GI issues in my life, fasting mm-hmm. can be a problem for me and has been. Right. There are times when I get to an Ash Wednesday, Good Friday, I can do it without a problem. There are other times where this just isn't happening because you know, and I think people have to take it in that realm because I beat up myself for quite a long time when I first started getting these issues in my 30s saying, well, I'm not good enough that I can't do mm-hmm. this. But I learned, no, that's not the point. It's being able to not think about food as your be all and end all.
Right.
That's mostly mm-hmm. what fast is trying to get you away from. Granted, my friends who are Protestants, fasting to them is nothing. You know, they're
3-hour fast.
You know,
3-hour fast. You know,
right? But to us Catholics, they're very generous with what they allow us to do, or within the rubrics. But still, I mean, now I'm 59, and my husband and I were talking about this. We're like, so what are we going to do next year? And I looked at him and said, I'm going to still do it as long as I can. Because I need that discipline of not having food as something that's in the forefront of my mind. And if I can give up food, then I should be able to give up other things.
And that's important. That's ultimately what fasting is about, is making that sacrifice for God.
It's discipline. Saying,
yeah. You know, I'm going to take this thing that I enjoy, a good day's worth of food, and I'm going to cut it down a little bit. And I'm going to be hungry, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, my stomach's going to be grumbling because I did only have, you know, a light lunch, a light breakfast. But then I'll have that supper to look forward to. You know, some of us, I try to do where I do a more serious fast where I don't eat until maybe an early supper, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. I just don't eat. And yeah, it's again, 3 o'clock, you know, you're like, oh, I could kill for a burger. You know, I could even just a sandwich, something, give me food, but it's a sacrifice. It's giving something up for God.
You know, I think also too, that it's, I've had to, like, my Ash Wednesday this year will be a 5:30 mass with my, confirmation students. And then we have class mm-hmm. right after. And of course, I'm bringing out the one slice of pizza each because we have to. If I don't feed kids at that time, parents have issues. But I'm trying to figure out when mm-hmm. to have my one meal because, you know, it may have to be lunchtime with nothing before or after because that's how it fits into my day. So it doesn't always have to be at the end of the day either.
Correct.
Correct. Yeah, and I think. For me personally, I'm also one of those people that has difficulty fasting for health reasons, but it really, reminds me when I fast that there are so many people in the world that that's their everyday life, mm-hmm. is constantly feeling hungry. And oh, yeah. that, you know, I'm part of this human family, and it gives me a very small share in what so many people go through, and a good reminder that, you know, that almsgiving part of Lent is so important, you know, to, it really kind of turns my mind to, the urgency of, you know, helping other people.
Right. Absolutely. You know, and it so much of all these practices that we do during Lent is to bring us into prayer, to bring us into, our relationship with our Lord, and to unite with him. I mean, that's ultimately what Lent is about, is preparing ourselves to unite with our Lord in his passion, death, and resurrection in the Triduum at Easter time, in the end, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday, you know, to unite that. I was looking, talking about the fast, I was looking at what the East does, and they are much more strict about the fast than we are.
Oh, yeah.
They are, you know, if you truly follow the Eastern, both Eastern Catholic, Eastern Orthodox follow very similar practices. No meat at all during Lent. Mm-hmm. No meat at all. You can't have a hamburger on a Tuesday. Sorry, Wimpy. Can't have a hamburger on Tuesday. You can't have oil. You can't have alcohol. You are allowed. The one website I found here, it's from the Byzantine Archdiocese of Pittsburgh. You can't even have wine except on Saturday and Sunday, when you're also permitted to eat fish. So Sunday they can have fish.
Oh, wow.
But the description was this is coming from Saint Theodore the Studite. During the Great Fast, we only eat once at the ninth hour. In other words, what we call 3 p.m. today, taking only dry food and vegetables without oil. We do not drink wine either, except on Saturday and Sunday, when we are also permitted to eat fish. So, I mean, it's a very serious fast where, again, it's one meal a day. It's vegetables. It's beans. It's, you know, stuff like that. No meat, no fish, no alcohol. You know, and it's so we grumble about kind of what we're asked to do. But again, we really aren't asked for a lot. But another practice we do that is sort of a fast is the old giving something up. Mm-hmm. It's taking something that we enjoy, taking something that is important to us, maybe taking something that brings us entertainment. It brings us happiness, whatever it is. And we give it up. Or maybe it's a bad practice that we do, that we set aside, you know. So what are some of the common things that you've heard people say? Oh, I'm just going to give this up for Lent.
Chocolate.
Sweets.
Yeah. Sweet. That's a big one.
Fast food.
Yep.
Facebook, which I would love to do, uh-huh. but I monitor a Facebook page for the collaborative, so I can't.
Yeah. That's what I almost want to say. I'm just going to give it up for Lent and never take it back up.
I would agree.
All social media. Yeah.
I do have a caveat I give every year, and I will announce this week, and I'll announce it on Ash Wednesday. If you are choosing to give something up for Lent, do not. It is to be a penance for you, not for everyone else.
Right.
Do not give something up that you need to be a decent person.
Yes, like coffee others. For some people.
Coffee, cigarettes. If chocolate is one of those, you know, whatever it might be, you know, if you are a growly person, I think of that McDonald's commercial that I despised. This was probably about 5-6 years ago. They had this McDonald's commercial, probably even a little longer than that, where it's the guy's walking through. Don't talk to me. I haven't had coffee yet. Someone starts to say, don't talk to me. I haven't had coffee. And he's a jerk. I mean, I'm sorry. And he's just until he has his coffee. It's like, don't talk to me. I need coffee. If you're that person, don't give up coffee.
No.
Don't give up coffee. You are ordered by a priest to not give up coffee.
Yeah, actually, I was surprised when I read Introduction to the Devout Life by St. Francis de Sales.
Excellent
and he
book.
Talks about how he would much rather have people, you know, eat and get enough sleep and, you know, mm-hmm. take care of themselves rather than just be jerks all day, you know, yeah. and not be able to serve other people. He's like, you know, if you're fasting all day, but you can't do your job, or you're fasting all day and you can't serve your children or whatever the case is, then right. I'd much rather you eat, you know, and do exactly. something else. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because fasting can become counterproductive. I always say, if you're giving up something for Lent, take something on in its place so that right. you can, you know, so that you can sort of, you know, move your mind over to that. So if you're giving up chocolate, which I would never do, you know, replace it with maybe 5 minutes of Bible reading, or maybe 5 minutes of walking a day. Mm-hmm. There right. are benefits to all these things, but now you're replacing it. So when you get that urge, it's like, okay, maybe now's the time I take out my Bible for 5 minutes and, you know, follow a plan or something, you know, replace it with something. And right. hopefully that will get you into a new practice and a good one.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's, you know, when we talk about doing things for fast, you know, there's one thing our Lord said is, you know, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites who they look gloomy. They disfigure their faces so that they may look like they're fasting. You know, this is kind of taking a translation, kind of paraphrasing it. Mm. But this, you know, from the Gospel of Matthew, he says, don't make people think you're fasting, you know, because we can do that. We can kind of make it a look at us. Look at me. See how brave and pious I am being by giving up this or, you know, and it makes it about us. You know, so when we do these fasts, you know, and it's one thing to say, you know, hey, I'd love to go out go to McDonald's. I'd love to go for a hamburger. But, you know, I gave up fast food for Lent. Hey, can we go somewhere else? Could we go to Subway instead? Could we go to, you know, could we do this instead? That, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But it's, oh, look at how brave I am, because I'm not going to have a McDonald's cheeseburger today.
That's why I'm very cautious in telling anybody what I give up for Lent. And right. they look at me like, well, you haven't given up anything. I was like, you don't know that. And I'm not about to tell you why, you know, what it is. Usually mm-hmm. afterwards, I'll tell people what it is, but not during. Because you can fall into that trap, and it's very easy to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's really important to, you know, I think for all of us to really look at ourselves and say, you know, what are my weaknesses, my interior weaknesses? Mm-hmm. Where do I usually trip up? A lot of times we say, oh, bad habit. But, you know, what is it really that's keeping us from being that better person?
Right.
And that should be where we look and say, okay, what can I give up and replace with?
Agree.
Right. You know, ultimately, it should be, what is keeping me from following our Lord, and what do I need to do to follow him all the more closely, to unite myself to him all the more closely, you know, and that way it doesn't become about giving a bad habit. Because frankly, if it's a bad habit, you need to give it up anyways.
Right.
I mean, right. It's let's be honest. You know, if it's something bad that you're doing, you know, you shouldn't be doing, we need to give it up. And of course, that's our struggle as sinful human beings. We don't do that. But then Lent needs to be a time to help us draw closer to our Lord. Mm-hmm. Now, so prayer, of course, is something important with all that. Now, of course, the irony of this is saying, you know, don't look gloomy, don't fast and look gloomy. But then what do we do on Wednesday? Hmm. Ash Wednesday. We put ashes on our forehead.
Yeah, so let's talk about that, because this is like an ongoing debate within the Catholic community, I think, especially online, where it's like, do you post pictures of your ashes? Do you not? Do you wash them off after? Do you go to work and all day with them? You know, what is the deal with it? So very interesting conversation there.
We never worried about this before social media, because as Catholics, we went to Mass, we got our ashes. And, you know, not that we're proud to wear them, but it's a symbol of who we are. So right. I don't see I have bangs, so no one's going to see my ashes anyway. Usually I have to go up to the priest and pull up my bangs so I can get my ashes.
If people don't be offended, by the way, you know, when you go to Ash Wednesday, if either you have to lift up your bangs or if the priest takes his finger and kind of what I do is I use one finger to kind of lift the bangs up and then make the sign of the cross. But
I don't understand why this is I don't understand why it's becoming an issue, because this is who we are as Catholics. The issue should be, you know, what is the drive-by Ash thing all about, because that I think is crazy. You know, people have to drive, they drive up to the church's parking lot. There's a priest, or it's usually Protestant that's doing this, out there, signs them with the ashes, and they go. How can you do that without listening to the word and taking that in and knowing why you're wearing the ashes? That's more what I take offense to.
Well, it's, I mean, there's legitimate reasons, I think, why you would do something like that. Like, for example, we'll have someone go to the nursing home on Wednesday at some point and go to people's rooms and do the ashes. And depending on the size of the nursing home here, it might be practical. We might, you know, because we might have 10, 15 Catholics where you could do the readings and then do the ashes. But you think over time, if you've got a large enough place, that could take all day. Versus you could go to each room and do the ashes, you know, visit with them a little bit, do the ashes and go on to the next.
Oh, that's not my, that way is not my
issue. No, I
know
what you mean, though.
It's the other one, because that's the one that gets publicized on TV. And that's the one that they all sit there and wait to go cover.
Oh,
isn't
this wonderful? Yes. Yeah, exactly. And it is a difficult thing to get in that. How do you do it and still have, you know, if you're a busy day and everything and you want to receive the ashes, how do you do that? And I know a lot of parishes will do maybe like just a noon word service, where it's, they'll do the liturgy of the word and then they'll impose the ashes and then they'll go. There won't be communion. There won't be mass. Yeah. It's just the liturgy of the word, you know, so 15 minutes and they can go on their way to lunch or what have you.
Do you do that, Father Corey? Because we do that. We have one of those.
I don't, because we're a small enough town where we're going to do it. We're going to do our mass at 5:30 and that's covers basically everybody. So that's not as big an issue here. A parish I was at actually just other day for a penance service, a pre-Lent penance service. I know we talked about that before, Secrets of Technology, but they're doing that. But it's a larger town where they could have a number of people come in, and people come in from the area around it. So when we talk about the ashes being imposed, we do it as a reminder. We do it as a reminder that we're going to die someday. You know, it really is. It's not a look at me, I'm fasting. It's a reminder that death is coming. And, you know, there's that the one phrase that I generally always use is, you know, remember that you are dust and unto dust you shall return. And that's the phrase, paraphrasing off the top of my head, because I can't remember if that's the exact phrase that the priest uses as he's imposing the ashes. Remember that you are dust and to dust you shall return. Priest or layperson can do it as well. It's a reminder.
We've kind of gotten away from that because a lot of folks are choosing the second option for that, which is turn from sin and, what is it? I can't remember off the top of my head.
Turn away from sin, faithful to the gospel.
That's it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They've been using that one a lot. And I'm like, why don't you use the first one? That one's just as good. Oh, we can't. Yeah. No, that's important, especially in this culture.
Yeah, I was going to say, the reason why I primarily use the first one, first of all, because it's easier to memorize one, not two. Secondly, it's, we need that reminder for death, you know, and I, as a priest especially should be aware of this, because we see, especially at funerals, where people don't want to confront the fact their loved one has died. Or if they do, they want to couch it in the, oh, they're in a better place. They're free from pain now. They're in heaven. An angel has its wings, and all these, you know, soppy stories that, well, they might make you feel good, but we don't know that for a fact. You know, we need to be reminded of death. And that's what Ash Wednesday does for us. It, you know, so do you, I assume both of you make an effort to get to Ash Wednesday, Matt. Joanne, especially, it's easier because you work in a parish.
Yeah, I work there. So it just, for me, it's which one am I going to? But this time I will wait till, usually I like to get them earlier in the day, but I will wait till 5:30 to be there with my candidates. So.
Sure. How about you, Angela?
It's San Antonio is such an interesting place on Ash Wednesday because it's a very Catholic place, but there's also so many Christian groups, and it's a very urban city. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of Mexican immigrants and people of Mexican descent here. And the Mexican people are huge on Ash Wednesday and Palm Sunday. Even if they don't go to Sunday Mass, they will go to Ash Wednesday. I think part of it is just that idea of like you go to this service and you get something tangible. That, I mean, obviously the Eucharist is very tangible and like the ultimate thing. But if you're not catechized, you don't understand that. You know, I can see how like getting that extra like physical thing that you can especially carry with you visibly, you know, out of the church is maybe that reconnection to their faith, the Catholic faith of their upbringing. So we have tons and tons and tons of Ash Wednesday services here. So anybody that wants to go to Ash Wednesday service will be able to find a time.
Absolutely.
Also just, you know, there's a lot of service industry people here in San Antonio. Especially we have a huge medical center and there are a lot of hospitals. So the parishes nearby have those 15-minute services. And you'll see just doctors and nurses and, you know, people that work in hospitals just coming and going out of those. So, it's really, really interesting. And I'm looking forward to, you know, continuing to see how the people, you know, there's also people that go out on the street downtown, like Protestant pastors, a couple Catholic pastors as well. And we'll have like a spontaneous Ash Wednesday, you know, service for people who are just out, you know, maybe they're tourists, maybe not, but it's really fascinating here. So looking forward to that.
you mentioned, you know, Hispanic culture, and I think at least in the United States it's pretty universal among Catholics that Ash Wednesday is a regular feature of some sort or another. Again, whether it is doing the 15-minute service, going to mass, even just, again, receiving the ashes on the side of the street or something like that, which is interesting because, I'll say it anyways, Ash Wednesday is not a holy day of obligation.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not.
It's the one day that you're not obligated to go to mass, that everybody goes to mass. And yet, you know, and I mean, it's good they're there. And we pray when people do come that this is an opportunity for them to receive, to have that conversion of heart that will lead them to maybe become more regularly practicing in receiving the sacraments. But at least they're there for Ash Wednesday. It's a start. Mm-hmm. It's something we can reach them.
And they're there. Yeah. They're there for noon. And that's it. Noon is our largest congregation, believe it or not. And our old pastor was stunned by that. And our new pastor's telling us, are you serious? Are people really going to come? We're like, wait and see what happens. Yeah. And they just do, because somehow everybody's in town and they just think that's a good thing for them to do. So they're there.
Well, it's for, you know, Good Friday traditionally, service is traditionally held at 3:00, but we do ours at noon here for that reason. When we would do it at noon, we would have a good crowd come, you know, and of course, again, it's traditionally 3:00. That's the traditional time that our Lord died. But it's just for pastoral reasons, this works out best, you know. So it's the same thing with Ash Wednesday. I know parishes, again, in bigger cities like San Antonio, Chicago, places like that, where they'll have 7:00 in the morning, 8:00 in the morning. They'll have noon. They'll have 5:00 at night, 6:00, you know, they'll have services throughout the day. So you can have businessmen, they can come into town earlier, go to mass, receive the ashes, receive communion, and then go to work. And so then you'll see, it's always fun to watch the news stations, because then all of a sudden you'll see one of the news announcers has his ashes on his head, or a politician will be interviewed and he'll have his ashes on his head that day or whatever, you know, broadcast across either the city or the country. So it's very interesting.
So we didn't answer the question about posting your ashes or not.
Yeah. Well, and
I don't see a problem with it.
You see, and that's like, we can just basically address the two sides of the argument, because there really is two sides of it. It's either, you know, it's good to do because it shows our faith. You know, we're not doing it to show we're fasting. We're doing it to show our faith as Catholics, you know, and it's a form of evangelization. The other side is, of course, that statement, though, that you're not supposed to be doing it as a public witness. You know, that you're not supposed to, the ashes are not ultimately,
you're not showing them off.
Yeah. You know, so it's because they're meant to be an outward sign of our interior conversion. Wait a minute, that sounds like a definition for something.
You know? Yes.
a sacrament. So
sacramental.
Sacramental. Well,
are they, you know, are they considered a sacramental, the ashes?
Yes, they are. Okay. They are a blessed object that we receive. Because as part of the mass, there is a blessing of the ashes before they are imposed. So they are considered a sacramental. It really is. It's the same thing as, you know, like I wear a crucifix. Now, usually you don't see it because I wear it under my clerical shirt. They're seeing it right now because I'm not wearing my clerical shirt. But it's a sacramental. I am wearing a shirt, by the way. Let's make that clear.
I wasn't going to say anything.
I saw that look, Joe. No, I'm kidding.
Doesn't that go without saying? Come on.
Yeah, I hope it would. But, you know, that's about the time someone sends a letter. Was Father Corey not wearing a shirt? Yes, I am wearing a T-shirt.
I'm just surprised he's wearing a short sleeve shirt in -14 degree weather. That's all I'm going to say.
I wear short sleeve shirts all the time. So anyways, getting back to the point, you know, these sacramental signs are things that we wear, things that we carry with us, that are signs for our interior belief, our interior conversion, our interior attachment to Christ. And whether or not people see them, there's something that is a sign for us ultimately. And that's what the ashes are. Whether or not people see your ashes, they are a sign of your interior conversion. At least that's what they're supposed to be.
So would you say that if there's somebody listening that feels like they kind of struggle with like pride or like kind of vanity showing off, you know, the ashes, that maybe it would be okay for them to wash those off before they go to work or whatever, just to kind of keep, I don't know, maybe do something else.
I think
keep
that's
a cross in their pocket or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's a legitimate argument, and I think that's a legitimate thing to do. You know, if you know that people seeing you wearing those ashes would bring attention to you and your spiritual practices in a way that is unhealthy for you, then yeah, I would say that. You know, I mean, I was raised that you don't touch the ashes until the next morning, and generally they all fall off on your pillow anyways. But yeah, I would argue that either go to a later mass, go to like a 5:30, 6 o'clock mass where no one is going to see you because you're going to be at home after mass, or wash them off. I mean, there's no harm in that. Just because, again, it's more important that spiritual pride, that sinful pride, isn't given the opportunity to rear its head than it is to wear those ashes all day.
And maybe if you are practicing that and you're aware of that, that extra step that you take could be a step toward, you know, being more Christ-like.
Exactly.
So that you're working on that for yourself.
Well, and it could be even a spiritual mortification of, you know, people, well, I know you're Catholic. Didn't you go to Mass? You know, and you know, not having that symbol to show that you went to Mass that morning. Or again, putting it off till that afternoon or that evening when people won't see it.
Yeah, I think a lot of times, you know, especially if you're raised in a Catholic home that is pretty nominally Catholic, I think a lot of times, you know, the emphasis during Lent is on those exterior things.
Right.
And, you know, it is important to, for me, like, to use Lent as an opportunity to really, really look at myself, take a good hard look at yourself, you know, as they say, and really say, okay, where am I, you know, in my faith journey, in my personal development, my spiritual development. And how am I becoming more like Christ? And if I'm not, then how can I fix that? And that can sound really daunting, but, you know, I think just taking little steps can go a long way.
Absolutely. You know, we call it a walk with Christ, not a run with Christ. It takes a step at a time. That's what our spiritual life is to be. It's, you know, constantly taking a step at a time. So is there anything else either of you want to say about either Lent or Ash Wednesday?
I think for me, maybe if you are somebody who is really big into entertainment, you know, a lot of people who listen to SQPN, we love our entertainment. We love our movies and stuff. I would say, you know, definitely take time out for prayer. But also if you're just really struggling with it, maybe look for movies that deal with the passion or the life of Christ, and start there and allow that kind of entertainment to be able to help you, you know, put your mind in the right place for Lent. So I would say try that out.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I would agree with you there. Lent is a really great time to go into your Netflix or your Amazon Prime and take a look at those movies, because they do come out. And especially especially some of the older ones, which people may go, ick, but, and you know, the real serious movie, people would be like, oh my gosh, they made that 1955. And it's all, but there's a different mentality to crafting those movies as they are now. So some of like Shoes of the Fisherman, or even The Greatest Story Ever Told, things like that. That's good. You know, put one of those in your Netflix queue for Lent and actually, you know, take it seriously. Yeah. The Passion of the Christ is a really tough one to watch for a lot of people. So that's why I don't usually say, you know, drag that out every year and watch it. But there are others that you can. Risen is one that is a newer one that's come out. Things like that. Put those in your queue for, if you're not going to give up Netflix, put them in your queue for Lent.
Yeah. You can think of some of the classic epics like The Ten Commandments and Ben-Hur and things like that, that are, you know,
The Robe. The Robe.
There's some just excellent, excellent movies out there that can be spiritually fulfilling.
Yeah. And don't watch them on TV. Don't watch them on regular, because Ten Commandments comes on every year and they hack the heck out of it. So
yeah, they cut it down and they add commercials. You don't want either.
No, you don't want to
watch the real deal. I've got to find it. I've got like the 50th anniversary DVD set where it's got both the, you know, the 50s edition that everybody thinks of, you know, the big Charlton Heston epic, and then the original, which came out in the 20s or 30s. I can't remember.
Is that the silent one? Is that the silent movie? Oh wow!
But it's a box set that's got both of them on two DVDs. I've got to find that again. It's in a. I think I know exactly where it is. I just got to go grab it. You know, but it's any of these old biblical epics, any of these movies that have come out recently that are they're telling the life of Christ. This is a great time to watch it. I agree 100%. Well, very good. Very good. And, you know, let us know what you think of Lenten practices. Obviously, you can send us feedback at letstalk@sqpn.com, what your practices might be. And we can talk about that in weeks going forward as we go into Lent. So at this time, we're going to take a quick break before our picks of the week. Thank you once again for listening to Let's Talk and the other SQPN podcasts. We've got lots of great podcasts to for your enjoyment and hopefully for your Lenten edification, perhaps at least some of them, like Let's Talk, I hope will be one of those. We really want to thank those who support SQPN in many ways, especially through our Patreon site. Patreon is a way that you can every month give SQPN a little bit of money and be really a patron of SQPN. And if you join our Patreon site, we have gifts that we send at certain levels. But you also become kind of part of our contributors in a way that things are given or things are asked of our patrons to help our shows, including with Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World. They do once a month. They do a topic from our Patreon patrons. They suggest topics, and Jimmy Akin does a show based on that topic. This week, we'd like to thank a couple of our patrons, as we've been doing over the last couple of months. Mario L, Earl P, Jonathan K, Mark R, and Ronald B. Thank you very much to those patrons and all our patrons, all those who support us here at SQPN. We also need some other help. Some other support here at SQPN. Don Bentinelli does a lot of our editing. I do the editing of Let's Talk. So, you know, any complaints about how Let's Talk is edited, you can send to me. but Dom does all the rest of our editing, and we're looking for some help. Dom is, you know, he's a full-time employee as CEO of SQPN, but even that time is being stretched with all the work that he does. So we're asking for some volunteers to help out with some of the work that he does. We're looking for some volunteers with audio editing experience. If you've got experience, especially with Adobe, I just blanked on the name of it. The Adobe Audition. Editing Audition. Thank you. I use it every week and I just blanked on the name. Adobe Audition. That would be fantastic. But or just generic editing experience. We need some volunteers to help out edit our shows. We need some people who have basic experience with WordPress as far as posting things to our WordPress site, like our shows, for example. And then volunteers for doing producer work, helping organize our shows, find the panelists such as our wonderful Joanne and Angela who are here today, and other panelists who are willing to be on our shows. We need people who are willing to help Dom organize that, figure out who's going to be on each show each week. So if you're willing to help out, please send us an email. You can send an email to our Let's Talk at SQPN email or Dom directly as well, because we want to continue growing SQPN. And right now, because of the demands on Dom's time and the need for more help, this volunteer work is a great way to do that. So please do let us know if you're willing to volunteer. We'd be glad to take all the help we can get. So let's go on to our picks of the week. Angela, why don't you start us off for our picks?
Sure. Well, with Lent, gee, there's so many possible picks. But, you know, a lot of people are interested in strengthening their prayer life. And I would say, especially if you're listening to SQPN a lot, you like podcasts, I would recommend the Scriptural Rosary podcasts by Rosary Army. So you can look those up on Apple iTunes or Apple Podcasts, or even on their website, newevangelizers.com. And there will be the Rosary Army section where you can download not only the audio, but also if you want to print out a guide for yourself that has the Scriptural Rosary, you can do that too.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, they're that's excellent. Of course, you know, it's Rosary Army. You know, Greg and Jennifer have been doing wonderful work with that ministry, and that podcast is excellent. There's excellent recordings of the Rosary. So absolutely agree. Joanne, what would you like to share with us this week?
Well, I had two picks originally, but I'm gonna have to throw one out because I have to kind of hawk my friend's new book. It's Praying the Stations of the Cross for the Suffering, Ill, and Disabled by Holly B. Clark. And it's published by 23rd Publications. Holly herself is physically challenged. And this has come out of our soup and stations that we've done the last couple of years. And she really has really keyed into this type of, ministry to the suffering and the ill and disabled. And I think her stations, she really picks out a lot of things that people can connect to. And it's gone over so well that they asked her to write them out and publish them. So if you're looking for something different to do with your stations rather than the regular one you do every year, then I would look into this one. The other one is the BustedHalo.com website. They always have a lot of good things for the seasons. And Lent, they have, believe it or not, a Lenten calendar, sort of like an Advent calendar. But it's there, fast, pray, give, and you can't click on the dates and open them up early. They won't let you. But I think it's a good resource. I know it's geared towards the younger crowd, but I send everybody there because Busted Halo really has a great ministry to those who want to know more about their Catholic faith and identity. And I think they do a great job with it. Anybody who can do Lent in 3 minutes has my sincere admiration.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, very good. Very good. Very good picks. My pick is the Magnificat Lenten Companion. You know, again, talking about the need for prayer during Lent. One thing I like this, and similar to the Busted Halo calendar, where it's short reflections every day. Very short. I mean, they're one page, they're small pages, they're very easy to read. Different authors from different views. A lot of times taking it off of the scriptures for the day, you know, the mass readings for the day. There's a suggested penance, like for example, I just happened to pull up a random day, Wednesday, the first week of Lent, March 13th, today's suggested penance, sacrifice some ordinary comfort or convenience today. I mean, that's a minor sacrifice, you know, it's, you know, in you think of instead of using a, I don't know. Well, comfort, you know, instead of using the Keurig, maybe just go and, you know, make a regular pot of coffee, you know, something like that, you know, because for some of us, the Keurig is definitely a major convenience, you know, instead of, you know, actually having to go the effort of making a pot of coffee. So stuff like that. Very simple, but nice reflections. Sundays have a little bit more in depth. Reflection and everything, and there is a Stations of the Cross in the back and things like that. So it's worth checking out. I every year I recommend the Magnificat Companions for Lent and Advent, because they are just excellently done little books, and you can spend, you know, again, each day you take 2 or 3 minutes and do the reading and reflect on it and do the little penance. So. Well, very good. Well, glad you both could be on again. Joanne, where could people find you if they want to hear more from you?
Oh, well, Secrets of Tech seems to be my new home here at SQPN. So I will hawk that podcast, because I think we're starting something really great, and we're having a lot of fun doing it.
We are.
Because it's not just your regular talking heads about tech. So yeah. I'd say Secrets of Tech here at SQPN.
Absolutely. And Angela?
Well, I'm very excited. I don't know if Dom let me do this, but I'm just going to do it anyway. that we are going to be recording a Secrets of John Williams podcast coming up pretty soon. So for that. That's where you can find me next.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, we're always good for teasers. I think Dom will be happy you promoted it. We always like to tease our upcoming shows to get people to subscribe. So subscribe to Secrets of Movie and TV podcast, and that one will be coming out here pretty soon. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And again, I'm Father Corey Stika. You can find me at my website, frcorey.org, where I post my homilies. Facebook, I'm Father Corey Stika. Twitter's Fr Corey Stika. Of course, you can find me on podcasts here on SQPN, not just Let's Talk, but also Secrets of Doctor Who, Secrets of Star Trek, Secrets of Technology, other podcasts I bounce around once in a while. Check out our other podcasts like those and many others that we have at sqpn.com. Again, if you wish to send us feedback about this episode of Let's Talk or any other episode of Let's Talk, you can do that at letstalk@sqpn.com. Please share our shows. We want you to share our shows. We're not going to give you a copyright strike if you share our shows. We want you to do that, because we want people to listen and to join us. So share our shows. Give us a comment on our Facebook page, send like and subscribe on the iTunes and all those other subscription services where you can find all these great podcasts. Thank you once again for listening to Let's Talk, and God bless.